Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Nun Aleph. We are holding two lines from the top on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph at the two dots. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, called the Bas Simcha Allah Shalom, Shem Hashem and Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Henry and Mindy Orlinsky, Luzerch Nishmas, Henry's father, Menachem Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Yisrael, the only survivor of his family of 10 children who volunteered to fight in Israel in 1948 and then rebuilt generations of Shomrei Torah mitzvos with Emunah Pshuta. His neshama should have an aliyah, and his family should continue to be matzliach. It is also sponsored by Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, my aunt and uncle, Le'ilo Nishmas, the yard site of Jeanette's father, Meir Ben Yosef, whose yard site is tomorrow, the neshama shav an aliyah, and is also sponsored by friends of the Pollock and Zisblatt families, in loving memory of Ezra Tovia Yaakov Pollock, Olav HaShalom, his neshama shav an aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we are going to discuss today is, first we're going to finish the discussion of giving yesomos from Metaltalin, and we're going to try to come to some sort of halachic conclusion on that issue, and that will bring us to the Mishnah in the middle of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, and then the Mishnah is going to discuss this Mishnah and the following Mishnah that is not going to be in today's daf, but we're going to discuss what happens if there are obligations of the ksuba that a person never actually writes into the ksuba. Is there an assumed obligation for all of those things because they are takanas chachamim, or is it really important that these things be written in the ksuba in order to actually obligate the husband in those items? And then the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out who the author of our Mishnah might be. Is it Rabbi Meir or is it Rabbi Yehuda? There are two different shitos that the Mishnah seems to be assuming, one of which Rabbi Meir holds, the other of which Rabbi Yehuda holds. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out who the author actually is, and that's going to take us a little while. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if a woman is ne'ensa, but it's tchilasa ba'ones v'sofa baratzon, meaning when does an eishes ish who is ne'ensa, who Rachman al son is a victim of an ones, when do we assume that she is muteris labayla because it was an ones, and when do we assume that she is asura labayla because at some point it went from an ones to a ratzon? The Gemara is going to talk about if someone is held captive and taken by somebody else, a woman is taken by somebody else, what sorts of behaviors do we look for while she's in captivity that would indicate to us that she's come to terms with it and that she's okay with it, and that even given the opportunity to go back to her husband, maybe she would not be thrilled to do so. So at what point do we assume that it becomes ratzon? So let's begin. Again, two lines on the top of the page. Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Hahu Yasom V'Yasoma. So there was a Yasom and a Yasoma. They were related. They were brother and sister, and their father left Metaltalin, and there was an apotropos who was in charge of the Nechasim until they become older. So these were a Yasom and Yasoma who were young. They were below Bar and Bas Mitzvah. Dasil Kameh to Rava, and they came to Rava to Paskin, and the apotropos came to Rava to Paskin how to provide the mezonos for the Yasoma. Samalu Rava, Helu Yasom Bishvil Yasoma. Provide extra mezonos for the Yasom in order that the extras will pay for the mezonos of the sister as well. Samalu Rabban of the Rava, Vamaru Damar Mikarki Vlom Metaltali. But I thought you said that we only collect from Karka, not from Metaltalin. Bein the mezone, whether it's for the mezonos of the daughters, bein the ksuba, whether it's to give the wife the value of the ksuba, bein the parnasa, or whether it's to provide the daughters with a nadunya. So how come you're giving from the metaltalin, you're giving extra to the yasom, bishvil ha-yasoma, this is metaltalin, and I thought metaltalin doesn't go to pay for the mezonos. Tosos and Dibra Maslam Karkaya and many other Rishonim write that when Rava says that for Parnassa we're only gover from Karka, that's only in a situation where there's no umdina in the father's das that would assess how much he would want to give for the nadunya of his daughter. Because the Gemara is going to say in a couple of weeks from now that Rava holds like Shmuel that for Parnassa we're shamin ba'av. We evaluate what the father's das would normally be. We try to assess what would he want to give if he were alive for his daughter's nadunya, and that you could collect from Metaltalin as well. So the Rishonim point out, so how can he paskin that for Parnassa we're only motzi mikarkaos? So it must be that Rava over here is talking about where there is no umdina and we're giving an Isra Nechasim. So that's where we're giving one-tenth of the Nechasim. That's where Rava is saying that we're not motzi me metaltalin, when there is no umdina, and we're just giving a set percentage, so that only comes from karka, not from metaltalin. So that's why they were the Rabbanan challenged Rava, why are you giving from metaltalin? So Amalahu, Rava said, that which I paskined to add extra mazonos so that the sister could be taken care of as well, that's not because of the daughter's rights in those nechasim, it's actually because of the son's rights in the nechasim. Because either Ratzah Shivchal Deshamsho, Milo Yavinun Lay, meaning if the son needed a shivcha to take care of him, wouldn't we give him a shivcha to take care of him, to take care of his needs? So Kol Shekein Hacha, Dikatarti, what is a better system of taking care of the little brother? The sister is going to take care of him better than anybody else is going to take care of him. So the technicality, the way to be able to sneak in, a mizonos for the daughter is through the rights of the son. So we double his allotment of mizonos so that he'll have a sister, so that he'll have someone who's going to take care of him. She'll certainly, and that certainly makes him happy. It certainly makes the son happy. He's going to want a sister to be cared for. Muka Yosef writes that Rava paskins to give an ani bentovim a shivcha l'shamsho. If you have an ani who comes from a more prestigious family, you give him a shivcha to be mishamishim. So it's not clear, does he mean that the din of Rava is not knowing for everybody? It's only knowing, meaning Rava saying, wouldn't we give him a shivcha l'shamsho? Is that only for an ani ben tovim? What about someone who was, they've always been living in poverty, the family's been living in poverty their entire lives? So the Meiri writes that if the son needs a shivcha, or someone who's just going to take care of him, or to raise him, so then we give him a zonos for the sister, so that she could be mishamishim, and if he has someone else who could take care of him, so then we appeal to him when we say, listen, your sister needs rachmanos and she needs chesed, but we can't force him, meaning technicality, on a technicality we're stuck, that we wouldn't be able to force him, meaning you need this svara of ilu ratzah shivcha l'shamsho, that he needs someone to care for him. But that's obviously all from metaltalin. When there's karka, then you don't need to rely on that. Whether you're dealing with karka, or whether you're dealing with metaltalin, we take away from the yisomim, whether it be karka or metaltalin, to provide for the mizonos of the wife and the daughters. Divrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe holds. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar Omer, when we're dealing with nechasim sheish l'anachrayis, with karka, motzi and lebanos. So then we provide for the daughters for their parnasa. Min habanim, from the yarshim, we'll take from the yarshim to provide for the banos. Ulabanos min habanos. And we'll also be motzi those nechasim for younger daughters to give them their chelik and yerusha from the older daughters who already have been machzik in the estate. Ulabanim min habanim. And we'll also take four banim ketanim for their Yerusha from the banim gedolim who have held on to the estate. Ula banim min habanos, and will also be mostly from these nechasim for the banim who are the yarshim min haTorah, from the daughters who are older who are holding on to the estate. Bin nechasim Reuben. That's when the father left enough money to provide for all the sons and all the daughters. So then the halach is that the nechasim belong to the banim because they are the yarshim min haTorah, and if the banos are gedolos and they've held on to that estate, they've grabbed onto that property, we take it from them for the sake of the banim, and the banim then provide back to the banos whatever they need to be able to live, whatever mizonos they need to live, because that's the tanai ksuba, that's what the ksuba demands. Avalo labanim and abanos min chasim uatin. But here's what we don't do: we don't take from the daughters to give to the banim, to give to the sons when there isn't enough, when there isn't enough in the Yerusha for the mazon of both the banim and the banos until they become gedolim. And the Chacham say that the banos are yezonu and the banim are going to have to be yachzru al pesachim. That in such a case where there's nechasim muatin, so we take care of the daughters first. Let the sons go around and they'll have to beg for money. A sad situation, but it's better than the daughters having to go around begging for money. So the Rabbi Shimon Elazar is explaining up until now the din of karkaos. And what about the din of metaltalin? So nechasim she'en len achrayus, when it comes to metaltalin, motzi'in labanim min abanim, will take for the banim ketanim to give them their chelik in Yerusha, Yerusha from the Banim Gedolim, who are machzik in the Yerusha, ula banos mina banos, and will give the banos ketanos their chelik in Yerusha from older daughters that have taken the entire Yerusha, because that's obviously talking about a case where there are no banim, so the daughters all inherit equally, and ula banim mina banos, and we're also motzi for the sake of the banim, or yarsha min haTorah, from the banos who are older, who are holding on to the Yerusha. So when all the, so far, metaltin is exactly the same as karka. But here's where it changes. Avalo lebanos min habanim. But we're not going to take this metaltin for the young daughters to provide their mezonos and their parnasa and their nedunya from the banim, because we cannot collect for the mazon of the banos and for the parnasa of the banos from metaltin. We can only collect that from karka. So in that din, Rabbi Shimon Elazar is disagreeing with Rabbi, because this whole started by Rabbi, this whole brisa started by saying Rabbi says that echad chasam sheishan archayis vechad chasam shein len archayis motzin lemazon isho banos divrei Rabbi, right? Rabbi said whether it's karka or metaltalin, you take from the banim, you give the banos, you have to make sure that there's mezonos, that there's parnasa for the banos. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Elazar says mostly true, but not entirely true. When dealing with metaltalin, you don't take the Yerusha away from the banim in order to provide for the banos. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So how do we paskin? What do we do with metaltalin? So first the Gemara says, well, let's think. What's the klal? Whenever there's a klal in Pesach, that's the first place to turn. So there is a rule, halacha karebi mechavero, not mechavero, when Rabbi disagrees with multiple people, so then we paskin against Rabbi, but we don't necessarily paskin like Rabbi. But when Rabbi is paskin against an individual, we always paskin like Rabbi. So says Gemara, we know that's the rule, but hacha halach Rabbi Shimon Elazar. But over here, we actually paskin like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Miri points out that there's another klal, that ain lemeid min haklalos, so that we don't learn from klalos, that even though you have klalos in halacha, you cannot derive that that's always going to be the case. Now, we should have said the halachas like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, because we have a stam mishnah that's mashma like him. Because the mishnah in Mem Tes Amud Aleph said it bestam that there's no chiyuv mezonos for the banos elo liachar misa, and the reason is because we compare the takana of the banim to the takana of the banos, and from that same hekish we could darshan like Rav Amnuna that we're only gove from karka for the banos and not from metaltalin. But once we had already said in yesterday's daf that after the zman of the mishnah, the Chum were Mesakein in this Takana and the Aliyah to collect even Mimetaltalin, so we can't bring a Raya from that Mishnah, and that's why the Gemara Paskins from Rava, because Rava was after that Takana, and he Paskins that we're not Gova Mimetaltalin, that we're only Gova from Karka. So even though Allah Kreb Mechaveir over here, we're going to Paskin of Shimon Elazar not to collect from the Metaltalin for the Mazon of the Bunos, only from the Karka. Dama Rava, Hilchsa Mimekarkoi, Velo Mimetaltalin. Because Rava said that the halach is that you collect from karka, not from metaltalin, bein the ksuba, whether that means to pay off the wife's ksuba, bein the mezoni, whether it's for the mezonos or the banos, which is our topic, or bein the parnasa, or whether it involves providing an adunya for the daughter. Even though the Gemara paskins that were gova only from karka, Tosfos points out there was a later takana, the takana sagaonim, to collect the ksuba and the mezonos even from metaltalin. Legabe parnasa, legabe nadunya, they were never misakin such a takana, but they made such a takana at least as far as the mezonos and as far as the ksuba. Tosfos and other rishonim write that they didn't need to make a takana because bismanein, everyone marries their daughters off b'metaltalin, and therefore you have the umdana. I mean, the whole discussion was only if you didn't have an umdana, that we don't know what the das of the father would be. But if every father uses metaltalin to marry off his daughter, so then we do know what the das of the father would be, and therefore you don't need a special takana to use the metaltalin to provide a nadunya for the daughter. It's going to be automatic that we could use the metaltalin to provide the nadunya when the father's no longer alive, because we have an umdana that would be the das of the father. So in the end of the day, even though it sounds somewhat restrictive in terms of what we're able to provide for the daughter in terms of providing for metaltalin, at the end of the day, once the Gaonim and the Minaga Olam have taken effect, so we could provide the daughter from metaltalin just like we can from Karka, even though the Gemara's Psak is not that way, because in later generations they made special takanos. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. So again, the next couple of Mishnahs we're going to talk about What if there are pieces missing from the ksuba? I mean, the ksuba is supposed to say all of the obligations that the husband has. What if it doesn't say? Is he still obligated in those things? So, for example, lo kasuv la ksuba. Let's say he just didn't write a ksuba at all. Then they get divorced or the husband dies. So does she get to collect anything? So, b'sulugav m'sayim almana mana, m'nei shu t'nai beizdin. Still, the ksuba gets 200 bezuz, the almana gets 100 bezuz, it's t'nai beizdin, that you have to give that amount of money in the ksuba. Even though we've already learned ksuba gets m'sayim and almana, that's just telling us in the first paragraph we learned that that there was a takada that you have to write a ksuba. This mishnah is being mechadesh, and even if you did, the takada was not only that you have to write it, the takada is that she gets it whether you write it or don't write it. She's going to be entitled to that amount of money. Let's say if the guy changes he does something different than what the obligation is. He writes for a besula that she can collect from a particular field, but that field is only worth a mana. So tachas masayim zuz, instead of the masayim zuz that he has, that he's actually obligated. And he doesn't say that all of my nechasim should be meshubet to your ksuba. Even so, girsha, if he divorces her, chayiv, he still has to pay her from all of his nechasim the amount of masayim zuz, and he can't say to her, no, you only get that field that's written in the shtar ksuba. Why can't he say that? Shehu t'nai beizdin, because there is a t'nai beizdin that you're not allowed to give less than masayim zuz. And in addition to that t'nai beizdin, there's a t'nai beizdin that all of his nechasim are meshubad for the achrayis ksuba, and that the woman is able to collect from the ksuba. The Marsha raises an interesting question. The Marsha points out that if we assume that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir, which we're going to spend a lot of time figuring out if our Mishnah does or does not go like Rabbi Meir, but if there's a possibility that it goes like Rabbi Meir, why does the Mishnah say that he's chayiv because it's a t'nai beizdin? According to Rabbi Meir, it's a din d'oraisa, because kalamasna mashkos b'torah t'no batal, meaning if there's machlokas with the ksubas d'oraisa or ksubas d'rabanan, Rabbi Meir's sheet is a ksubas d'oraisa. So if Rameir holds ksubas d'oraisa, so of course you have to, because you can't make a t'nai against what it says in the Torah, called masa mashkos b'torah, t'nai batal. So not because it's t'nai based in, but because it's in d'oraisa. So it's machlokas t'nai medaviram ralv, that some say ksubas pesula is only midraban, and some say it's d'oraisa, and even those that hold that it's min haTorah, but the shir masayim zuz is a t'nai based in and is not min haTorah. So this is part of that broader discussion, right? That's one of the major differences between the ksuba of a Svardi person and ksuba of an Ashkenazi person. That by Ashkenazim we write the chazulichi midaraisa, the masayim zuz the chazulichi midaraisa, and the Rishonim struggle. Are we so sure that it's daraisa? He says no, it's talking kesef daraisa. But Svardim have the practice that they do not write the word midaraisa. Svardim have a lot of different practices in the ksuba, but that's one of them. They also have a practice that they write a non sahadi, that it, because it makes more sense that it's a document signed by witnesses, not by a beizdin. So they add in the phrase anan sahadi in the ksuba. So last night I was a Masada Kiddushin at a Sephardic wedding, but when I met with the chassan, he told me, you know, my mother-in-law really doesn't want anything that sounds weird under the chuppah. So I said, okay. So I called the Rabbi Jack, and I said, what kind of ksuba do I use? I don't even know how to do a Sephardic ksuba. They added so much other stuff in there, and should I put $100,000 in there, $18,000 in there, all these different menagim? He said, just do an Ashkenazi ksuba and take out the word midaraisa. So that's what we did. I took a text of a ksuba, took out the word midaraisa. I used Rav Shechter's nusach because he has anan sahadi anyway, because he thinks it's more correct. And thanks to Shirley Rose, we were able to get the ksuba in time to be able to make the wedding. So that's the concept of ksuba daraisa. So that's the kash the Marsha deals with. But anyway, our mission over here says that if you don't write the shibud chasim is there anyway. It's tonight based in. So now the Mishnah talks about what if the husband, he did write a ksuba, but he didn't write all of the conditions and all of the obligations. So among the tonight ksuba is that the husband gets the peros of the nechasim that the woman brings into the marriage, and in exchange for that, if she's ever held in captivity, he's going to have to be poed to her. So lo kasav la, if he never writes into the ksuba, im tishtabai aparkinach vosvinach li into, that if you're taken in captivity, I'm going to redeem you and I'll take you back as a wife. Ubekohenes, or if she's an Ashes Kohen, point where if she's ever held in captivity and she's netin, so in captivity he's not allowed to take her back as wife, he would have to write Adrina Klimadina Sech, I'm gonna pay for your pidyon and then bring you back to your father's house. So chayiv, then he's still chayiv to do it. Shu Tanai Bezin, because that is a Tanai Bezin. It's not something that's optional for him. Nishbeis chayiv liftosa. If she was held in captivity, he has to be pulled to her. Vim Amar Hare Gita Uksubasa. But if he says, you know what? While she's in captivity, he says, this is expensive to be pulled to her. Well, it would be cheaper if I just paid the ksuba. So I'll just divorce her, pay the ksuba, and then I won't. So Vitiftes Atzma, let her figure out how to be pulled to herself. Once I pay the ksuba, Eino Rashai. He's not allowed to do that because at the time that she was taken into captivity, they were married. So he's already chayiv in the pidyon. So he has to be pulled to her. Laksa, if she becomes ill, chayiv l'raposa, he has to pay for her refua, even if he didn't write that in the ksuba. Amar hare gita uksubasa v'terape esatzma, if she becomes ill and he says, you know what, here's her get, here's her ksuba, let her figure it out. So Rashi, that he is allowed to do, he has the legal right to do. Again, in all these things, every time, every day when we do Yivamas and Ksubas, I'm getting, this is immoral, this is what he has the legal right to do. It's not about what the moral thing to do. Certainly it's not halakhically permissible to when a wife gets sick to say sayonara, I'm out of here, right? But this is in terms of the right, the contractual rights of the ksuba. So he has the contractual right to do that. So you say this is your get, your ksuba, and terabe esatzma. So that he's contractually permitted to do. Why? Why would he be contracted? I mean, what's the difference between that and when she's in when she's held in captivity? She was taken into captivity while they were married, so he cannot say, here's your get, here's your ksuba, and go figure it out. So if she gets sick while they were married, why can he say, you know, this is, why can he say that, here's your get, here's your ksuba, I'm leaving? She got sick while they were married. So Shittim Kubetzos quotes from the Ramah that Legabi Pidyon, the money all comes at once, meaning you can solve it today by paying the ransom. And that entire chiyuv comes at once. When it comes to the refuah, you can't be merape her today, meaning refuah is an ongoing thing. So in a chinami, that day's refuah, he's obligated to pay. But if he sees that this is going to be a long road, and each day there's a new chiyuv, because each day there are new needs, he's allowed to, meaning just like it would be more like mizonos of a wife, that a husband has to support his wife, but they can get divorced at some point, and then the chiyuv mizonos is going to stop. I mean, he'll pay the ksuba, and then he won't have to support the wife anymore. So that's what the refuah is more similar to. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to quote in a few dapim from now a machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda, whether a woman could be mochel the husband the full amount of the ksuba. So the Gemara understands that our Mishnah, which is mechayiv the baal to give masayim to a basula, mana to an almana, Is absolute, and it's assuming that even if the woman is mocheles, the husband, it's not that mechil is not chal, and the husband has to give masayim umana, like the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that she cannot be mochel. And because we're working with that assumption, we therefore have a problem identifying the author of our Mishnah. So money, who is our Mishnah? Rabbi Meir, he damar kalapach subsul masayim alman mana reizu b'dos nos. Rabbi Meir holds that you cannot give any less than masayim mana for ksuba, di Rabbi Yehuda, because if we're going to assume our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amar, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say, ratza kosev l'besula shtar shal masayim v'iko seves his kabalti b'machmana, that they could work out a deal between them, that he'll write in the shtar, here's, I'm obligating myself in masayim zuz, and she'll write a receipt, I already received the mana, even though she didn't, because she's just trying to give him, a deal that he's not obligated as much. Ulal mana mana v'iko seves kabalti b'machamishim zuz. So even though she didn't really receive chamishim zuz, because Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with our mayor and holds that a woman has the ability to be mochel some amount of the ikur ksuba. So since it says in our Mishnah that a basula always gets masayim and almana always gets mana, even if he didn't write a ksuba, so we're assuming that that means even if she was mocheles. So our Mishnah must not be like Rabbi Yehuda, must be going dafka like Rabbi Meir. So ask the Gemara, but wait, if it's going like Rabbi Meir, ema seifa, then you read weiter in the Mishnah. and it says Kasav Lasad Shav Mana Tachs Masayim Zuz, that if he writes for a Besula a field worth mana instead of, he's Meshabit a field that's only worth 100 for the Masayim Zuz, for the 200 Zuz obligation, Velo Kasav Lakal Nechasim Disli Achar Luxuba Seich, and he doesn't say that all of my Nechasim are Meshubit to Luxuba Chayiv, he starts to pay him Masayim Zuz, and there's a Shimon Nechasim on all of his Nechasim, and he cannot say to her, no, you only get the field that I wrote into the Ksuba. Shehu Tanai Beis Din, because that is a Tanai Beis Din. So the Gemara is understanding that everything is completely Meshubad as if they were written in the Shtar Ksuba, and the woman could be Motzi Miyala Lekuchos, even if he sold those properties, whatever property he owned at the time that they got married, at the time that they wrote that Ksuba, she can go and collect that property. Well, who holds that way, that it's all Meshubad, even if you don't write it? Sa'asan, Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Achayis, Ta'asoferu. That assumes like the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, that any Shtar Chov that doesn't say that there is Nechasim, that the Nechasim are Meshubad to pay back that Chov, we assume that it was a mistake of the scribe in writing the Shtar, and it's an automatic that the Das of the Malva and the Lova was always to include the Shiba Nechasim. So it's always viewed as if it were written in the Shtar. So the Sefer tells me that even if he doesn't write the Shiba, he doesn't write that he's being Meshabit all of his Nechasim to pay for the Ksuba, we still assume there's a Shiba Nechasim. That's Rabbi Yehuda, dear Rabbi Meir, because if it were assumed like Rabbi Meir, Hamar Achrayus Lav Tosafru, Rabbi Meir holds not. It's a decision people make, and sometimes people decide not to put that as a clause in the Shtar, that all of the Nechasim are Meshubad. So now we have a problem, because we have the Mishnah on the one hand is assuming like Shitas Rabbi Meir that the woman cannot be Mochel the Ikur Ksuba at all, and then on the other hand we have our Mishnah assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that everything is always going to be Meshubad, all of his possessions are going to be Meshubad, all of his properties rather are going to be Meshubad to the Ksuba, because Achrayus is Tal Soferhu. Where do we find that there's such a Machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about Achrayus Tal Sofer? Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Matzah Shtarichov, if you find a Shtar Halva'a, and you don't know whether the Malva is the one that lost it, or maybe the Shtar was already paid up, and the Lova is the one that lost it, so what do you do with it? Say, Yesh Ben Achrayus Nechasim, if it was Mefurish in the Shtar, that the Lova is Nechasim or Meshubad, and Achrayi to pay that Chov, Lo Yachzir, don't return it back to the Malva, even if the Malva is Moda, that hasn't been paid up, and that he dropped it, Shabazin Nefrad Mehen, because the Bezin will take it away from the Lekuchos, even from properties that have been sold. So we always have to be Choshesh that maybe it's already been paid up, but the Malva and the Lova made a deal between them in order to be able to seize properties from the Lekuchos, that the Lova will admit that he still owes the money, so to speak, and the Bezin will take the money away from the Lekuchos, and then later the Malva and the Lova will sell the property and split the profits. But ain't been achrayis nechasim. If the shtar doesn't have achrayis nechasim, so lekuchos can't lose out by returning the shtar. Yachzir, then you return it to the malva, and if the lova, if the lova's moda that he dropped it, shame bezin nefrayim mehen, because bezin is not going to take from lekuchos anyway. So there's no chashash that they could be in cahoots with each other to try to figure out how to take properties away from somebody else. So say once he's moda that he still owes the money, so you can make sure that the shtar goes to the right place. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. V'cham omrim echad zeh v'echad zeh lo yachzir shebezin nefrayim mehen. Whether it has achrayis nechasim written in the ksuba or it does not have achrayis nechasim written in the ksuba, there's achrayis nechasim in the shtar halva. There's achrayis nechasim. It's automatic. It's an assumption. So Reish Rabbi Meir v'seif Rabbi Yehuda. And that therefore brings us back to our kasha, that since you have this machlokes or Meir Rabbi Yehuda about whether Achrayus is Tos Sofer or Achrayus is Lav Tos Sofer, our Mishnah gives us conflicting messages whether it's authored by Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. So the Reisha that says that a woman cannot be Mochel the Ikur Ksuba, that's Rabbi Meir. The Sefer that assumes that Achrayus is Tos Sofer, that's Rabbi Yehuda. So says Marvichite Makula Rabbi Meir. Maybe you're going to say no. The entire Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir. The reason in the Sefer it says that Achrayus is Tos Sofer is the Shaila that Rabbi Meir being Ksuba L'Shtari. Maybe Rabbi Meir is Mechalek, the din of Achrayus Tos Sofer, Mechalek between a Ksuba and a regular Shtar, that the Shiba Nechasim and a Ksuba is a Tanai Beis din. And maybe in such a case, Rabbi Meir's Moda, that Achrayus in fact is Tos Sofer. So generally, by Shtar Halva, Rabbi Meir is going to say Achrayus is Lav Tos Sofer. But by a Ksuba, there's a Tanai Beis din. Afil Meglim Adal Kaspa, everything is Meshuba, and everything that he owns is Meshuba to the Ksuba. So maybe maybe that is going to be is Rameir will agree is Tal Sofer. So says Mar, but is that true? Mishaili late? Does Rameir really distinguish between Ksubas and other Shtaros to say that Achrayis Tal Sofer who by Ksuba? V'atani, we have a brisa, the Chamisha Govim Min HaMechuraren. There are five types of chovos that you could collect from Nechasim Meshucharim, but not Nechasim Meshubadim. And if if the guy who owes the money doesn't have Nechasim, we cannot take from Lekuchos. We cannot take from people who have bought properties from him in the interim. Ve'eluhein Peros Ushvach Peros, a person who steals a field and he sells it to someone else, and that Lokeach plants that field and it grows Peros. And if he makes other improvements to the karka, plowing the karka, fertilizing the karka, and the nigzel comes and takes away that property, the guy who was stolen from comes and takes away that property together with the peros from the lokeach, he only has to pay the expenses that the lokeach spent in improving the field. And the din is that when the lokeach is toveya the gazlan who sold him that field, he can collect from him the value of the karka that he bought from him, even from the chasim that Lukuchos have right now, if the Gazan doesn't have the money on hand. But as far as the payros, meaning the guy who purchased the field from the Gazlan and thought that it was a legal purchase, he lost all these payros now. He got reimbursed for the hotsaos of planting the payros, but he lost the actual payros. So when he goes to collect that from the Gazlan, that he can only collect from the Chasim Vecharin. That he's not able to collect from the Chasim Shabbatim. Now, Mekabel of Lazanus ben Ishto Ubas Ishto, a person who accepts upon himself to support his wife's children from a previous marriage, that also is only from the Chasim Vecharin. The get chov shein bar achrayus. If you have a shtar chov where there's no achrayus that's written into it, uksubzisha shein bar achrayus, and uksubzisha that doesn't have achrayus nechasim written into it. So there you have it. Both by shtar chov and by uksubzisha, we don't assume achrayus tol sofer. If there's no achrayus written into it, then there's no shibin lechasim. So man sham leib damar achrayus lav tol sofer. Who's the author of that brisa that holds that apparently achrayus is not tol sofer, that it's not an automatic? Rabbi Meir. Katani Ksubasisha. It's Rameir, and it says Ksubasisha, just like a Shtar Chov. So don't tell me that Rameir distinguishes between a Shtar Chov and a Ksuba, that by a Shtar Chov, Achrayus is Lav to Sofer, and by a Ksuba, Achrayus is to Sofer. No, he says it by both. So we're stuck with our question. Who's the author of our Mishnah? So Iba Yisem Rameir, Iba Yisem Rabbi Yehuda. Two possibilities could be either one. Iba Yisem Rabbi Yehuda, it could be that it's assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that Achrayus is to Sofer, and if the woman is Mochel, the money of the Ksuba, the Mechila, works. Aye, but doesn't the ratio of our Mishnah say it's automatic? You always have to pay Messiah Mana? No, Hasam, Kasvala Iskabalti, Hachalo Kasvala Iskabalti. Our Mishnah is not assuming that she was Mochel. Meaning the whole question was based on an assumption that he's got to pay her Messiah Mana. Even if she's mochel. Mishnah never said, even if she's mochel. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if she writes a receipt to him, that it received half the money, even if she didn't, that works. So that would work in our Mishnah also. V'iba yisem Rameir, or it could be that our Mishnah is assuming like Rameir, and Achrayus is lav tol sofer, we cannot collect from a Shubad and by a Shtar that doesn't have Shibud. Umay chayiv d'ktani minam chararin. When it says in the Seif of the Mishnah that even though he doesn't write that all of his Nechasim are Meshubah to the Ksuba, he's still chayiv. That doesn't mean the Nechasim Shubadim, that means the Nechasim Mechararin, that means the properties that he still owns are Meshubah to the Ksuba. Good, so then we said, lo kasavlav, he never writes in the Ksuba that if you are held in captivity, I'm going to redeem you from captivity and bring you back as a wife, or if he's a Kohen, I'll bring you back to your father's house. So the assumption is that if she's an Eishes Yisrael, he can bring her back to his own house, that he can stay married to her. So Gemara discusses, is that always true, that if an Eishes Yisrael is Nen, that he's allowed to stay married to her? So Amar Avodah Shmuel Eish Shal Shenensa Asura Labayla Chayshin Hashem Tchilas Abonus Sofa Bratzon, that she's going to be Asura Labayla if she's Nensa, because we have to be Choshesh that maybe by the Gemar Bia she was already Baratzon, that in the middle of the Maisa she had a certain sense of Ratzon, and therefore she's Asura Labayla. So Eishe Rav Avodah Shmuel, Rav challenges Avodah Shmuel. It says one of the Tanai Ksuba is Im Tishtabai Aparkinach Vosvinach Lili into. too. That if you were held in captivity, I'll redeem you. I'll bring you back home. So don't you see that he's allowed to bring her back home? So Ishtik, Avud Shmuel was quiet. He didn't answer him. So Kar Rav Alei Avud Shmuel. So Rav said about Avud Shmuel, the pasuk in Iyov, Sarim Atzru Bemilim VeKaf Yasimu Lefiem, that he could have answered this question, but he was quiet about it. Ma'isle LeMemar. Why? What could he have said? That Beshvuya Hikilu, that Dafka, a woman who's held in captivity, they were Mekil, because no one knows for sure that she was Ne'ensa. But in a case where a woman, we know for sure, where there's no Safek, that she had a Maisa Bia, so then we have to be Choshesh, that maybe we discuss about a Safa Bratzon. But the Torah says that if a woman is Ne'ensa, she does not become a Surah Labaila. So where do you ever have such a case if you're always going to be concerned that it's Safa Bratzon? So the Kamriyatim should Safa Mitchil Vatsof. The case in the Torah is that witnesses saw that she was screaming the entire time, that she was not at all happy about this. Then she's mutaris labayla upliga d'Rava, and that is against the shita of Rava. Vod Shmuel is against Rava. Da'amar Rava kol shatchilas abanos v'sof bratzon afilu emeres hinichlo shil mali niskakla hisocharto mutaris. My time yetsa al b'shar. Rava goes to an opposite extreme, that even if we know that she was sofa bratzon, but initially it started with him attacking her, even then we say that she's mutaris labayla. That's also called ones, because at a certain point the yetsar just got a hold of her. So tiny kavase de Rava, we have a brice that supports Rava. The pasuk says vihilo nitpasa, vihilo nitpasa, that she was not grabbed, she was not taken forcefully. That it was, only if she was miratzo nivolo does she become asura to her husband. So the implication is hanitpasa muteres, that if she was taken forcefully, then she was muteres to her husband. But v'yeshla acheres, there's another type of woman shafal pishalon nitpasa, that even if she wasn't taken forcefully mutaris, she's still going to be mutaris. Vezazu kol shetchas bonus sofa baratzon. That would be a case where it started out ba'ones, but it ended baratzon. And you see, we follow Shitas Rava that even if it just started ba'ones, she's still going to be mutaris lebaila. So then there's the Gemara brings a brisa that darshans another limud from the word vihi in order to be miyashiv the shita of avuah de Shmuel. Tiny idach vihi lo nit, because avuah de Shmuel didn't account for the word vihi. Right, we just said what would Rava's drasha be? Is vihi lo nitpasa is asura, but there's someone else. There's nisha acheres. That's not he. That even though she is nitpasa, that she's going to be that even though she's lo nitpasa is going to be muteres. So tani idach vihi lo nitpasa asura ha nitpasa. But if she were taken forcefully, muteres, she's going to be muteres labayla. So we're medayit from the word vihi that it's dafka by istamisha that we're mechalik between onus. There's another type of woman, even though it was ba'ones asura, she's going to be asura labayla. Vezozo eshes kohen, and that is an eshes kohen. Eshes kohen, even if she was nansa, she's asura labayla. If a woman was not taken forcefully, she was beratzon, she was nevelas asura, she becomes asura to her husband. Hanitpesa, but if she was taken forcefully mutaras, then she's mutar to her husband. So we're medayik from the word vihi that it's dafka by stam isha that we make that chilik between onos and ratzon. But v'yesh l'chacheres, there's another type of woman, she'afal b'shalon nitpasa, even though she wasn't taken against her will, muteres will still be mutter to her husband. Vezozo, what type of woman is that? She gedusha gedushay ta'us, that she was in Scottish on some sort of tenai, and in the end the tenai was not fulfilled, so it turns out that her kedushin was batel. So such a woman, even though she was mizana baratzon, is muteres labayla, because it was never really baila. She was never an Eishas Ish. She was single the whole time. Even if she has a child from someone else, she can go out without a get, because her whole kiddushin is batal mafreya. If there are these women that were taken by bandits, sharyon leguvrayu, they're mutter to their husbands because they're anusos. But the Rabban said to Rav Yehuda, v'kamintatin luhunama, we see that they're serving bread and they're serving meals to these guys that took them. So don't you see that they're happy with their new lives? No, machmasira, they're terrified. That doesn't mean that they're happy. V'kamashalchun lugiri, that when these guys are going out to battle there and they're loading them up with their arrows and their weaponry, so machmasira, because they're terrified. But certainly, if we come in and we say, you're free, you can go, you come with us, and they say, no, we're happy here, we're staying here, then they become asur l'baal lahen. Women who are held captive by a melech for tashmish, they're considered like shvuyin and they're mutaros to their husbands afterwards. It's all an ones. Genuve listos, women that are taken by gazlanim, einun kashvuyin. They're not like shvuyin. We assume that baratzon, they're having bia baratzon, and therefore they're asuros to their husbands. Vatani, but don't we have a brisa that says the exact opposite? So it says, malchus amalchus lo kasha. You can't ask a stira in terms of shvuyin malchus. Ha, b'malchus achashverosh. The brisa that allows shvuyin malchus, talking about similar to malchus achashverosh, who was a huge king, and the woman knows that he's not going to ever marry her, and she doesn't have any ratzon to be nevelas to him, so she's an anusa and she's mutares. Hab malchus ben netzar, but if it's a smaller type of listim where she could actually end up with him, maybe she's interested in being married to the king. Listus alistus lokasha hab ben netzar hab listim dialma. And by listim, it's not a stira either. By ben netzar, she wants to be married to him, but by listim dialma, the woman has no desire to be married to him. Ben netzar hasam kari le melech vach kari le listim. What is ben netzar? Is he a melech or a listim? Says Mara in the Gabi Achashverosh listim who Gabi listim dialma melechu. He's more of a melech than regular listim. He's more of a listim than Achashverosh. So that's why he somehow fits in between. Okay, B'Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from two dots. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.